Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracle of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today. I call this one Illumination and Motion of the Spirit. And where I got that from is I'm kind of redoing a study on the prophetic because I think a lot of people are beginning to realize about the prophetic anointing and that it's real and that the fivefold ministry is Jesus sent the fivefold ministry and he never took it away. Men tried to do that. You think God, Jesus is going to give the fivefold and then take it away? Of course not. It's in the scriptures in Ephesians. And so we have to go by the word of God and not by man's opinions. And so I got that from a statement, and I did a really awesome study about different terms and definitions of the prophetic. And so one of the statements went out of my study was prophecy comprehends three things: prediction, singing by the dictate of the spirit, and understanding and explaining the mysterious hidden sense of scripture by an immediate illumination and motion of the spirit, order, and office. And I just loved that statement. And so I've been in the prophetic. I know there's many people who have been in it way longer than I have, and I had the privilege of God calling me into it in about 2005 and beginning to study about it then and then going to school for it for about 5 years and then continuing on into Bible college and more studying on the prophetic. And so there's so much to know about it. And so just like I was talking about last week, everybody in the fivefold needs training: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so I've heard people say that there was no such thing as a school of the prophetic. And yes, there was, because Samuel had a school and so did Elijah. We talked a little bit about that last week. They were called the sons of the prophets. And Samuel had a school. Elijah had a school. And so, yeah, I just said that, but I just want you to muse on that. And so we're going to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and saved from every single one of your enemies. So let's play the recording of the shofar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, I always want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give him your peace. I declare that you will have above and beyond what you could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill your part of his story in Jesus' name. And they sure are. And IHOP has had such an impact on my life. I love Mike Bickle's teachings. I love watching 24/7 worship and praise. They have devotional worship. They have intercession. They have so much teaching. They have beautiful, beautiful anointed music and messages. And I just want to thank them because they've had such an impact on my life. Of course, so has Christian International. That's who I'm ordained with. And also a Gabby Love, a Bible college. I'm still in Bible college. I'll get my master's in August, and I just want to continue learning about the Lord because I love him so much, and I want to know everything about him. And, of course, that takes a while because there's so much to know about him, and we have to keep pursuing him and wanting to know more about him until the day we die. There's so much beauty in the Lord. And so my prayer today is 1 Corinthians 2:1, because we have to know that the Holy Spirit wants to show us everything about the Father and the Son and Him, the Holy Spirit. So I just made it into a prayer. Let us come, brethren, not with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Let our message and our preaching, that is 1 Corinthians 2:1. Let our message and our preaching not be in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's 1 Corinthians 2:4, because the Holy Spirit loves to demonstrate. And now we're going to go into 2 Corinthians 2:9 and forward. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But keep going, because to us, he has revealed them through the Spirit. For to us, I just want you to muse on that a minute. To us, God has revealed them through the Spirit. You hear that? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Did you hear that? We may know the things freely given by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I mean, think about that. If we have the mind of Christ, we have the very mind of Christ. That is so, so powerful. I also want to thank Christian International and Dr. Hammond, Bishop Hammond's curriculum of the prophetic, because it's so amazing. It's so in the Word. It's so solid that I just want to thank all the people God has put in my path. There's many. I want to thank, too, Dr. Joyce Dixon. She's my Bible college instructor and friend and mentor. And I just thank him for all of the people he has put in my life throughout the years, because they trained me and continually trained me. And I couldn't have learned about the prophetic or about the scripture just by myself. I want to learn through beautiful, solid mentors. And so I suggest that to anyone who is interested in learning the prophetic. Don't walk out there if you haven't had any training. There's so much to learn about the prophetic, because you want to go out there and you want to know the protocol, because you can hurt people with words that are from the flesh. And you don't want to do that, because it's a person's life. It is a person's destiny. It's a person's future. And you want to know that it's coming from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. And you must have training. It's just my opinion, of course. But you want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You studied and you showed yourself approved. And so, a word from Shar. And so let's talk about prophets, because people are just starting to understand that there's both female and male prophets. And just like any other person, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, prophets also make mistakes. We make mistakes. You know, I can give you an example of that. And I'm going to go from the old and new, because the beauty of the scriptures is that the Holy Spirit really worked the same way. It's just that we have such a major advantage once the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. He's in us now because of what Jesus paid the price for us to have a spiritual birth so that we could see the kingdom of God. We could experience the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful to him. And we can have everything that's in the Word of God. And we have to do that by the power of the Spirit. And with, of course, and I believe this with all my heart, we have to continually be mentored until we go into eternity. I really believe that. To be able to mentor and be mentored and be teachable. And so think about this. Nathan was asked for his own opinion as to whether David should build the temple for God, and he urged the king to do so. But Nathan spoke, you know, it was his own opinion. And God had to tell him to go back to David and tell him that Solomon was to do that. And so I also want to talk about some of the definitions of the prophets. The verb to see, it's called roe, was the older name for a prophet. And you can look in 1 Samuel 9:9. Formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let us go to the seer. Because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. 6 out of 13 times in the Old Testament refers to Samuel or speaking about Isaiah 30 verse 10. They say to the seers, see no more visions. Because they didn't want godly visions. They just wanted, you know, it talks about today in the New Testament, to tickle their ears with things they want to hear. They didn't want to really see what the genuine seers that the Lord was showing them. They didn't want to hear about the godly visions that were being shown. And in 2 Kings 17:3, the seer is used interchangeably with the prophets, both obviously talking about prophets. And so I know for me, I'm a seer and a hearer. Half and half. Some are strictly seers, and some are hearers. I believe we can have it all if we keep just pursuing the Lord. The verb to have a vision or to see a vision is hosea. Amos 7:12 talks about that. The name is also applied to David's seer, Gad, in 2 Samuel 24:11, and to Hanani, and his son Jehu in 2 Chronicles 16:7 and 19:2. Only in 1 Corinthians 23:9 are the three terms roe, nabi, and hoe used together while referring to Samuel, Nathan, and Gad respectively. A roe is one who is given divine insight into the past, present, and future so that he could literally see lost items to the last day's events. A nabi was one who was called of God to announce the divine message, while a hosea was given a message mainly in visions. And I know Kim Clement, I believe he says that's he sees a lot of visions, and so he has to really be listening to hear the meaning of it, of the visions that he sees. And apparently, this was the older name for a prophet, 1 Samuel 9:9, formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. The term is used in 6 out of a total of 13 times in the Old Testament to refer to Samuel, with the only occurrence in the prophetic books proper coming in Isaiah 30:10. They say to the seers, see no more visions, in 2 Kings 17:13. The seer is used in parallelism with prophet, meaning a seer is a prophet. another participle of form of the verb to have a vision is to see a vision, is a H-O-Z-E-H, Hosea, Amos 7:12. Okay, I think that is a repeat of what I said before. So we're going to go down to here. The meaning The original root meaning word prophet came from the verb naba, which means to bubble up or to boil forth. Now, if you've received prophetic words or you've been in training, you can feel that bubbling up, you know, when you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And so it's really awesome to be able to sense the bubbling up and the boiling forth of the word that he's going to bring. This meaning can be seen in two places where it's obvious what a prophet is, and that's in Exodus 7, 1 and 2, and Exodus 4, 15 and 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh." What could be clearer? A prophet, a nabe, is one who receives a word from God. Just as Moses acted in the place of God, giving divine revelations, he received from the Lord to his brother Aaron. Now, functioning as a prophet, moreover, a prophet is authorized to communicate a divine message. Aaron was to be Moses' mouthpiece because, you remember, he had an issue. He stuttered. And so he was giving God all these different reasons of why he couldn't do what God called him to do, but God is not going to take no for an answer. And Moses finally said, all right. The second is in Numbers 12, 6 through 8. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions, to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. You know, in the case of Moses, God would speak face to face. Other prophets, some receive dreams and visions. Some receive prophetic words in dreams and visions. Some hear and see, and some more hear than see. And some are partial of both. And so I believe if we keep pressing in to know Jesus, it's not really to know the prophetic as much as it is to know Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then they bring those to you. I know for me, and a lot of times when I pray for people, and I'm sure you can relate too, if you walk in the prophetic and you're praying in the Spirit and you're seeking the Lord on how he wants to, how he wants us to pray and what he wants us to do, he will show us pictures. He will show us visions. We will hear prophetic words from him. Because you have to remember, does it not say, his sheep hear his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow? And, you know, if you look in John 3, and it talks about you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born from above, that word see means literally to see the kingdom of God. And if you look at some of the words see throughout the scriptures, it's a literal seeing in the word of seeing in the spirit. And so, you know, God clearly speaks in so many different ways. And so we have to be sensitive. You know, I remember a while ago, the Lord was speaking to me about how he tries to speak to mankind. But mankind some just don't know how to receive to hear, and some just don't want to hear. And he was saying to me, I speak through creation, through the beauty of creation. And if you look around, you see some of the beauty of creation. I don't know how you couldn't see God in it. He speaks through music. And I know for me, talking about IHOP Kansas, and of course, listening to the prophetic worship there, listening to them worship, totally that's how he speaks. He speaks through his fivefold ministers. He speaks through his people who are sensitive enough to listen and to hear. And so he wants all of us to be able to operate in his realm, because aren't we citizens of heaven? Aren't we seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? We're already there. We're already there in the spirit. We already, if we identify ourselves correctly, we already are buried with him in baptism. We already are. Our flesh is already crucified. He did that for us already. It's called the circumcision. He did it, the circumcision, the spiritual circumcision. Jesus did it for us. We are crucified with him. In other words, our flesh, our carnal self, as we learn to walk that out, we are already risen with Christ. We are already seated in heavenly places. And when we start to realize that that's already done, we can realize, just like in Revelations 4, where Jesus said to John, come up here and let me show you things to come. The door was opened for him. It's open for us also. It's so amazing. God loves us. He loves us. And so prophets receive a word from God through many of God's different languages. They can be direct declarations, visions, dreams, or a theophany. And what is a theophany? It's an ecstatic experience. It's like it's a visitation. And of course, that isn't mandatory for receiving God's word, but he does that. He loves for people to know him. It's like any relationship. You have to get to know him. And the more you spend time with him, the more he's going to show himself. He did it for Moses because he wanted Moses. He had a specific call for Moses. He did it for Isaiah, Ezekiel, Paul, John. We could go on and on and on. I mean, if someone ever read the visions that Ezekiel had, they match up with Revelation and seeing the throne room. God wants us to be able to know him. We are citizens of heaven, are we not? We're passing through here. So prophets speak the word of God. We're spokespeople who call his people to listen to obedience. In the Old Testament, they called them to obedience. They wanted the Israelites to follow the Lord. And now, of course, for the body of Christ, God's past blessing and future judgments, that there should be justice and mercy towards one another. Prophets give God's message indeed as well as in word. They more did it in the Old Testament very symbolically. Of course, you know, I see a lot of prophetic people. They do prophetic acts. I love that. You know, if it's Holy Spirit ordained, it's really powerful. And so they did symbolic acts in the Old Testament that were very dramatic. There's parables, like, for instance, Hosea's marriage taught about God's relationship with Israel. Now, of course, we don't see that anymore today, where God calls someone to have the kind of relationship he asked Hosea to have with his unfaithful wife. Isaiah 20, verses 1 through 3. We don't see a lot of things that we saw in the Old Testament that God asked them to do. The prophets performed miracles, which were confirmed by their messages. And I believe we're coming into that day where we're going to see that more with New Testament prophets. And so we saw that with Moses, Exodus 4, 1 through 9, and Elijah, 1 Kings 17, 1, worked many miracles. Virtually all prophets see the miraculous fulfillment of God's word. And we as believers, all believers, are supposed to see healings. Think about in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings 17, 17 through 22, in 2 Kings 5, verses 1. And of course, the whole New Testament, all believers are supposed to see miracles and signs and wonders. They're supposed to follow New Testament believers, according to Mark 16, according to the Great Commission, because it's the Holy Spirit, it's us allowing the Holy Spirit operate through us, all the gifts that he has, because it's a supernatural commission, and you have to have supernatural tools for it. And so prophets give words in writing, as they did back then. It was they had many oracles. Some New Testament prophetic words are short and some are longer. And so you can look at the writings in the Old Testament of Isaiah, of Ezekiel, of all of them. And they were ministers to God's people and watchmen for moral compromise. Ezekiel 3:17. They're supposed to be, that's what prophets are supposed to do also today, because they need to speak to the people. Now, all prophets are intercessors, but not all intercessors are prophets. And so genuine prophets do have ecstatic experiences, but I believe all believers can. It's not for entertainment. It's for a purpose. The sign of a true prophet is their loyalty to the biblical faith, worshiping God only, alone, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. Are their words, I know in the Old Testament, according to Deuteronomy 18:22 and Jeremiah 42:1-6 and Ezekiel 33:33, the words of a true prophet must be fulfilled. Now, that does not mean that they do not make mistakes, because every person makes mistakes. The problem with people that do not understand the prophetic is that there is a prophetic timetable, and it's way, way different than ours, because there's often long lapses between predictions and fulfillments. Micah 3:12, Jeremiah 26:16. Also, personal prophecy is conditional, and it's based upon the person receiving the word and warring for their word. And we talked a little bit about that last time, and it's also the attitude of the person. And so accurate prediction also, by the way, is not a final test, because the final test is really the loyalty to God, because all people make mistakes. You know, other tests include agreement with previous prophets, as in the Old Testament, such as Jeremiah 28:8, good character, Micah 3:11, and a willingness to suffer because of faithfulness, 1 Kings 22:27-28, Jeremiah 38:3-13. Similarly, New Testament believers have to learn to distinguish between true prophecy and prophecy that should not be received. Because just because someone speaks it, if it is speaking things to you that you know are not of God, then you have the right to renounce that prophetic word. And so you have to remember that prophets are not all-knowing. They know what God tells them. Prophecy also has a progressive characteristic, and Abraham's life would be a really great example of that, because he had many prophetic words and visitations and visions, and he was a friend of God. And so throughout his life, God gave him different kinds of different words in different seasons of his life. So we're going to stop a minute, and we're going to play the song, Let Heaven Come, because it's so beautiful, because that's really what this is all about. We want heaven to come. And so let's listen to Let Heaven Come. Hallelujah. I'm going to let that play in the background. You might not be able to hear it, but I want to talk about how different people were called, such as Elijah. We're definitely going to run out of time, so I'll just keep continuing this. Elijah received a call from God to be a prophet. The call came through Elijah, yet it was divine in origin in 1 Kings 19:15-16. God told Elijah to go back the way you came and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. It says that Elijah found Elisha plowing in the field, whereupon Elijah threw his cloak, the prophetic mantle, up around Elijah. You don't muse on that. That's what Jesus did. He cast his mantle on us. Elijah cast his prophetic mantle around Elijah. Elijah immediately left his oxen and ran after Elijah. As Elisha later asked for a double portion of the spirit that rested on Elijah, it fell on him in 2 Kings 2:19-14. The miracle of the parting of the waters of the Jordan River with the use of the mantle that had dropped from Elijah while he was going up in the whirlwind was God testifying both to the genuineness of the call on Elijah, and it was a picture of Jesus and how when he arose into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. And think about when he went into heaven, it says Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so it's for training the body of Christ to walk in their callings, to get to know the Lord, so that people are not tossed to and fro with different doctrines and things. And so we have to learn the Word of God. We have to learn how to operate the way God longs to see us operate in His gifts and His callings. Of course, that's not the main thing. The main thing is to get to know Him and to allow Him to operate through us to be witnesses on the earth. And we are not perfect, okay? So if people think we're perfect or any Christian is perfect, that is not what it's about. Yes, we're in the process of sanctification, but none of us are perfect. And so that was a picture of Jesus, how when he rose into heaven, he was sending the Holy Spirit to us. And God communicates in various ways to his prophets. As he did then, he does now. Think about Elisha, who warned the king of Israel in 2 Kings 6, absolutely one of my most favorite things to read about. I just think God has the best sense of humor. And so if you haven't read 2 Kings 6, it's just so awesome. And it talks about now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." Well, here's one of the examples of how tight Elijah and the Lord were, because God spoke the plans of the enemies of Israel to him. And so he'll do that with us when we grasp that his sheep hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. It says that in John 10. To him the doorkeeper opens the door, opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And so no matter what the king of Aram did, the Lord told Elijah about it, and Elijah told the king of Israel, to the point where they thought they had a traitor in their midst, and they were like, "No, king, no. Elijah the prophet knows everything that's up." And that is, if you haven't read 2 Kings 6, it's so amazing. And so we have to know, too, that his sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. If you get that revelation, I know for me, back in about 2000, between 2005 and 2007, that was a major revelation for me that I could hear God for myself. And so that was scripture the Lord used with me when I first went to the School of the Prophets back in, I believe it was 2007-ish or so. And so the king of Israel, He wanted to take Elijah out, but Elijah wasn't even afraid, because Elijah could see in the spirit, and he could see the chariots of fire in the spirit. And of course his servant was like, oh Elijah, oh my gosh, we have an army around us. And he was freaking out. And I mean, I could imagine that would happen to us too. But what was Elijah's answer? In 2 Kings 6:16, he says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And did you notice Elijah was Elijah's mentor. And Elijah was mentoring this his servant too. And he just says to him, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. And Lord, you are not a respecter of persons. I pray, open all of our eyes that we may see, Lord, that we may see in the spirit, that we may see the horses and chariots of fire all around us, Lord, that protect us, Lord. Put eye salve on our eyes, that we all may see, Lord. I just thank you for doing that for us in Jesus' name. God's personal. He wants us to see him. He wants us to be intimate with him. And so think of Isaiah. This will probably be the last thing I'll get to talk about this week, but think of Isaiah. Oh my gosh, in Isaiah 6. He got to see the Lord and he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." He was ruined in a good way because he says this, "I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim, he says, flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are forgiven." And I know for me, when I took Kim Clements, when he had his prophetic perceptions class, he taught such a great revelation because he was like, "Did you see that the Lord did not condemn Isaiah?" No, because when Isaiah was like, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." What did God do? He helped him. He cleansed his lips, and he wants to do the same for us. And so I am going to stop there because, well, I still have one more minute left. So he says in Isaiah 6:8, he says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Hallelujah, us, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I said, here am I, send me. And that's what it's about. He wants to send us. He wants to send us in his power, with him operating through us. He wants us to have the revelation that why did he do everything? Why was he our forerunner and did everything ahead of us and walked in perfection before us so that we, once we're born from above, so that we can see the kingdom of God and that we can then walk in the supernatural gifts and power of the Holy Spirit to see the Great Commission to come in. He loves humanity. He wants to speak to them. He wants to heal them. He wants to deliver them. He wants them to know he's alive. He wants us to go. He wants us to speak. He wants us to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. And so I'm going to leave you with that, and we'll continue next week. And I'm going to again play, I know we're only going to get to hear a couple minutes of "Come Holy Spirit" from John Rizzo is the worship leader, of course, from IHOP.
Continuing to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath. Lord, we ask you today. Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, that which you've spoken and that which you've confirmed in days past. Lord, we pray for the fullness of that which you promised. Jesus, we ask that you would send the promise of the Father just as you did in Jerusalem years ago. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that a prophetic voice would come forth from the church, O God. That a prophetic voice would come forth as it did with the apostles, that would turn cities upside down as a testimony of Jesus and his coming rule and reign. O God, we ask you that you would release the prophetic spirit upon the church, that as the proclamation of the gospel goes forth, that suddenly cities are changed, O God. Suddenly regions are converted. Suddenly there would be a great witness that you would breathe upon